We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the Scriptures here to us and reveal its treasures as only you can do, and that you strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 56. Discerning the times. So the Lord Jesus, as he often does, opens the volume of nature and teaches us a precious section. And he said to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass." So these words now are spoken to the great multitude, not just the disciples. It's a warning. The time for a very great division is fast approaching, but the people don't discern the time. They keep on living just like they had before, like the rich fool was doing. And in Palestine, it's not difficult to determine the weather. The rain comes from the west because that's where the Mediterranean Sea is located. And when the wind comes off the Mediterranean Sea, you can bet on it. It's going to rain. The deserts on the east and south and in the mountain ranges and to the north, they don't furnish any rain. But a lot of hot wind comes in and you can bank on very hot weather. So Jesus attacks these hypocrites. "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?" Jesus refers here to two outstanding sections of weather that we see in our world, the rain and the hot winds. And both are beyond the control of human beings. We can't make it rain, and we can't cause a famine to come and a heat. Even to this day, men that are, that's their job to do this, they're so often wrong. And these hypocrites, they seem to be so godly, and they pretend that they are, but all they're concerned about is life on this earth. They have no concern whatsoever about spiritual weather. If the hypocrites had wanted to, they know where they could have gone. If they wanted spiritual signs, you go to the spiritual book. And that's Scripture. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if they would have prayed for Him, the signs are easy enough to read. But the problem is, they don't want to. And very often in this life, "I can't" means "I don't want to." It's not a sense of, "I really would like to, but I can't, I just can't." That's not it. They don't want it. John the Baptist came, they knew that, but they didn't want to listen to what he said. Preaching and teaching of Jesus, they knew that, but they didn't want to listen to that either. And the miracles and healings that Jesus did, they discarded those. Well, he's working through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They got rid of that. But they didn't want to sit down and meditate upon Scripture. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes in chapter 9, I'm beginning at verse 11 and then 12, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man knoweth not his time. As the fish that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. So the rain that Jesus mentioned is a symbol of grace. The scorching heat would be a symbol of the judgment of hell. Years ago, we had an application which is really a parable in action that took place in the city that I grew up in, La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was called The Perfect Storm. But it had another name also. It was also known as The Day the Duck Hunters Died. The date was November 11th, 1940. It was on Armistice Day, which we call Veterans Day. And the records indicate that from 50 to 85 Midwestern duck hunters were among the 150 to 160 that lost their life in that perfect storm. And what unfolded that day is recorded in the 13th of November, 1940 issue of the La Crosse Tribune. At that time, I was only 2 years old, but I do have one clear memory of what unfolded that day. My dad and I were walking to a grocery store, and on the way, we passed by a gas station. A large truck was parked at the gas station, pumping gas and trying to fill his truck as fast as he could do it, which was a normal thing. But what was not normal was that the truck driver left the motor running during the process. You just didn't do that. And the driver of the truck had a terrified look on his face. A bystander asked him, we walked up closer, and a bystander asked him why the motor was still running. And his answer was, I'm leaving it running because if I turn the motor off, it might freeze up and I won't be able to start it up again. Which made no sense, because the temperature at the time was in the mid-70s. But the truck driver said, there is a terrible storm coming, and I want to get out of here just as fast as I can. So the truck driver knew something that the other people and the ones going out to hunt ducks did not know. His route followed through Iowa and southeastern Minnesota and then over into Wisconsin, and he was being chased by a terrible storm. He was driving as fast as he possibly could, and he needed more gas, and he stopped, and he wanted to get out of there as soon as he possibly could. At the very same time, duck hunters were in their boats heading through the marsh and going out toward the small islands in the Mississippi River. Most of the hunters were dressed in shirt sleeves, and many of them had only a sandwich and a can of Coke to last them through the afternoon. Gunshots were always being heard by some of the hunters that were by the little islands out in the Mississippi. So back in those days, duck hunting especially, was a popular sport, and often just to put food on the table. And the weather forecast came from a U.S. Weather Bureau in Chicago, but it was only staffed during the daytime hours and only during the weekdays. So the duck hunters had no idea what was coming their way when they got into their boats and headed out through the marsh toward the islands in the Mississippi River. At that time, La Crosse was in what we call Indian summer. that beautiful, warm, sunny session of days before the winter hit. And as I mentioned, on November 11th, most of the hunters were only dressed shirt sleeves, no coats. But the beautiful weather didn't last. A strong storm system in the Pacific Northwest had crossed through the Rocky Mountains, and instead of weakening it, as it usually did, it joined a low pressure system and produced rain before meeting up with an Arctic mass from Canada. And during the next 2 hours, literally, all hell broke loose. Winds were gusting from 40 to 45 miles an hour, and on a flat river, up to 60 miles an hour. The barometric pressure dropped to an all-time low of 28.72. I don't know what that means, but I know it's low. And by morning, the temperature had dropped to around 8 degrees. Those that managed to escape somehow mentioned that on the river, the waves rose 4 feet high and then turned to slushy ice before they even dropped back into water level. As kind of a side note, there were two teenage boys from Logan High School and their dog, who miraculously survived the ordeal after being stranded all night on one of the small islands. But many were not so fortunate. A number of different things had to take place before the perfect storm could develop. But they all did. And this storm is still talked about every Armistice Day or Veterans Day, even to the present day. So, the duck hunters had no way of knowing about the terrible storm that was heading their way, and hundreds of them perished. There's a much worse storm heading our way, and the whole earth is going to be destroyed by it. But unlike the duck hunters back in 1940, the Holy Spirit has warned us about its coming. And the Son of God has warned us about its coming. But you'll only find it in one place. The warnings are found in Holy Scripture. So we'll look at a few of them. And I found, which really surprised me when I actually stopped to search it out as far as I could, and that is the difference of the oddity between the Old Testament and the New Testament when it came to these warnings about the approaching end. And the Old Testament gave a few concrete details. The New Testament, as far as I was able to determine, gave no direct details whatsoever. And I thought that's kind of odd. But when you stop to think about it, it really isn't. When human beings try to guess when certain things are going to happen, very rarely, if ever, are they right. And sometimes they're way, way, way off. When Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, Eve soon became pregnant and gave birth to a child. And in the King James translation, the translation is, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And that's an accurate translation. It can accurately be translated that way. And if you translate it that way, which is legal, it is, what she would be saying is that children are a gift of God, and you can't decide whether you're going to have one. They come from God. "I have gotten a man from the Lord," which, as I said, that's true. But there's another way that it can be translated legally, linguistically. The Holy Spirit sometimes writes this way. And the other way it can be translated is if you take the term "from," and just insert a dash. Don't translate it at all, but a dash. And then she said, I have gotten a man, the Lord. And I think that's what she meant. And that would be a natural thing to do. When they were in the Garden of Eden, God promised them that he would send a Savior, the seed of the woman, and that Savior was going to crush the head of the devil. And when Eve gave birth to a son, I believe she thought he was the Savior. He was the promise. She was off by about 4,000 years. It's dangerous to try to predict things in this world. And so in the New Testament, you had people that tried the same thing. Shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven, they sold all their possessions. They moved up the tops of mountains, and they were waiting. They figured he was going to come back right away. But that wasn't God's plan. And they were warned, you know, there's going to be a falling away. First, you better get back there and tend to your work, not sit here waiting. So every time man tries to predict something, it turns sour. We just can't do it. But God has given some indications. The first one that I found was in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the problem is here that when the Lord God revealed something, the people didn't buy into it. So we're in Genesis 6, verse 3. The Lord said, the Lord is talking to Noah, right? The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, that's pretty concrete. Not guessing. The great weather forecaster said 120 days, and then it's going to rain. So how did the other people find out about it? Well, some of them probably didn't, but a lot of them probably did, because Noah was spending 120 years building this ark, and Noah was also a preacher of righteousness. He's a prophet. And when the neighbors walked by, they would have been naturally, what are you doing building this great big ark? And Noah would tell them, 120 years, it's going to rain, and there's going to be a big flood. And their response would be, you're kidding, right? It had never rained before. A mist went up and watered the earth. And it didn't rain until the flood came. But that was 120 years away. Of course, in those days, they were living in the 900s too. So it wasn't like, well, it's going to happen after we're dead and gone. But they didn't buy it. Yet 7 days, now it got closer. Now here's another weather forecast. Genesis 7, verse 4. Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. So two weather forecasts by the great weather forecaster turned out to be right. From the days he talked to Noah, it was 120 years. Right on, 120 years, right on the dot. And then 7 more days, and the rains are going to come. And they did. So that's meaningful for us, but it gets more meaningful than that. The second one I found of a weather prediction was in Genesis 8, verse 22. Not really a weather prediction, it wasn't. But the words are this way. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So the reference here is to the opening words, while the earth remaineth. So what does that tell us? That's forecast. Well, it tells us quite a bit. The Hebrew word, if it's literally translated, would be translated this way, while days of earth remain. So here we don't get a specific number, but we get a good idea what's going to be happening. And according to Bishop Usher's date, these words were uttered by God to Noah in the year B.C. 2348. Most people believe that these dates by Bishop Usher are very accurate. They can't prove it, but they seem to fit very, very well with Scripture. And so if you take 2,348 years before Christ, and you add 2,022 years after Christ, you come up with 4,370 years. Well, what's the big deal of the one? The big deal is this. How would you feel if you went into a doctor and the doctor examined you and he said, you've not got many years left on this earth. You're sick and you don't have many years left. How would you feel if he said that compared to if he said this? You don't have many days left. You better write your will. Your days are numbered. Well, the term days, while days remain, you don't have much time. You don't have much time. And this was spoken way, way back in the days of Noah. So we can say, according to the great weather forecaster, when this great big storm is going to hit, we can say that the earth was on its last days already over years and years and years ago. From the time the words were spoken, more than 4,300 years ago. And if the earth was on its final days back then, what would we say about ourselves? What would we say about the earth that we're living in? Why is Jesus giving such a drastic warning? And he does this over and over. Why do that? There were a few more specific things if people wanted them. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. So they had that. They knew he was going to come from the loins of Abraham. They knew that David was going to be his father. He was going to be the son of father. So these were concrete things, but they didn't nail it down to the specific time. They didn't. And God does not do that. He doesn't do it for a reason. He did it in the Old Testament two or three times. But he doesn't do it in the New Testament. Why doesn't he? Because he'd know exactly what people would do. They'd say, well, we've got 3 months, two more days yet, so we got time to do things. And what we will do is we'll just keep living for this world until we get about a day or two away, and then we will switch over and everything will be fine. The problem with that is that you can't guarantee that you're going to live until a day or two before the big storm hits. The rich fool thought he could. I'm going to pull up to my barns and build bigger ones. I'm going to retire and live the good life. But he was thinking in terms of years, and God was thinking in terms of one night. This night, or this day shall thy soul be required of thee. Then what are you going to do? And you can't turn spiritual things on and off like a water faucet. There's a point of no return. And you can't mock God and get away with it. And you mock him one step too far and you're done. So there's an urgency about this. There's an urgency about the Christian's life. The life of the very small elect children of God. Logically, we say, well, that doesn't make any sense because God says we're elect and there's no way we're going to be lost. Well, he does. He says that. But he also says, you better be careful. And there's an urgency about this. Run, run, like the truck driver. I'm not going to turn off the engine. It might freeze up. I want to get out of here as fast as I can. And that should be our attitude every day. It's a double thing. But God teaches both things. I have the comfort of knowing that I'm positively going to be saved. There's no way the devil's going to get me. I'm in the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's determined from eternity past. And God, that gives me a lot of comfort. But I also have the warnings. And God's elect heed the warnings. We don't just let them go. The arrows are shot at our own heart. And the twice, two times, the Son of God says. I'm going to read both passages. When God gives us a double shot, like Pharaoh's two dreams, it's going to happen quick. And so Matthew 24, verse 33 says this. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. How near is it? Even at the doors. That is close. If you get a call, well, another one. Mark 13, 24. Same thing. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So, if you've got somebody come to visit you, phone rings, they're on the other end. We're in La Crosse. You live in Coon Valley. We're leaving La Crosse right now. Okay, well, we've got a little bit of time yet. Not as much as when they started out on the other side of the country, but we still got a little time yet. But if the car pulls up and they're knocking at the door, you don't have much time. This is really close. They're knocking at the door. So we know these things are close. Jesus says, when you see these things come to pass, and we know from descriptions in Holy Scripture what these things are, we have a warning that in the last days, which we are living in, the situation is so dangerous that if it were possible, the very elect would be lost. That's close. But God's going to cut it short. So we know that. We know from Scripture what some of the signs are, that the earth is stumbling down toward its final seconds. If you read the newspaper or you watch the newscasts on television, you know what these signs are. I'm not even going to mention them. You know what I'm talking about. Things are happening in this world right now that when I was little you would never think would happen. It is so exceedingly wicked. And so the words of the Son of God, I'm going to stop the sermon here, but I'm going to let him read it and end it. And I'm in Matthew chapter 24. It's a chapter that talks a lot about the last days. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll start with verse 24, chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Well, that he's told us many, many times before, and that happened in the early Christian church and the Old Testament too. So that's nothing new, but there's going to be a lot of them. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Don't believe everything you hear, and don't believe everything you see. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. A lot of this is spiritual. And it's never been this bad before. It's never been this bad before that if it were possible, they will see the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Well, why is he telling us this? So we can keep right on, get in the boat and go out and hunt ducks? There's a storm coming. And the Son of God warns us about this. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is here in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. You base your hope and your faith and your trust on the Holy Spirit working through his powerful word. And don't go anywhere else. That's it. For as the lightning, the volume of nature again. You've seen this. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, just wham, just a flash, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to happen quick. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's interesting. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Oh, that's impossible. That can't happen right away. Scientists tell us that. You got stars out there that are billions and billions of light years away, and there's no way they could all be rolled together like a garment and be done. Oh, yes, there is. Because that's what God says is going to happen. And just because lightning can only travel a certain, or starlight can only travel a certain amount of millions or whatever miles per second now, don't think that's forever. God can change that. All of the laws of nature God made, and he can change them anytime he wants. And he can take all these stars. The stars were the work of his fingers, remember. And they were all created, some that we can't even see yet. They were all created in one day. They can be destroyed just as quickly and just as easily. The work of his fingers. And then the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, this is immediately, time reference again, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Where are we going to be when that happens? Well, the angels are going to come down. Christ is going to raise the bodies of all of his elect in a glorified state, and the angels are going to take us up into heaven. We're going to be with him when this happens. And we're not going to be down here on the earth anymore. The heathen are down there, children of the devil. So, the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They're terrified. We didn't see this coming. Well, no, you didn't. Came as a big surprise, but you had warnings. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the one that they hated. He's an imposter. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. We don't want this guy. Let his blood be upon us and our children. You want it? You got it. So, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, chosen as that very small remnant from eternity past, now entered into eternity glory, with a new body, glorified body, like unto his when he comes. And they'll gather his elect from the four winds. They're not going to miss anybody. Holy angels don't miss anybody. And then from one end of heaven to the other. Volume of nature again, another page. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. How near is it? Even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And the Father's timing is always perfect. We are living in exciting times.